Thanks for listening to today's message. We hope that it will encourage you and help you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.
This morning, I want to continue on in our series about moving forward. My title is this morning is Here's the Prescription. As I was preparing this message, I was thinking about the series that we did this past fall about transitions and how they continue to move us forward. And then I thought about the current series that we're in of moving forward. And I believe that God had to prepare our hearts for where it is that He is leading us. It's like He's been softening the edges on many of us in preparation for what is to come. But now we've arrived at the place where I believe He is saying it's time to move forward. Last week, we looked at John chapter 15 in light of relationships. And I believe that through this passage, we were able to gain understanding of what it means to be in a relationship with people and a relationship with Christ. We were able to see what it should look like. Now, I believe that this is extremely important in light of the fact that our number one purpose here on earth is to be in relationship with Christ. Do you agree with me on that? That is our calling here on this earth. God created us to be in relationship with Him. There are those who do not fully understand what this looks like. What does a relationship with Jesus look like? For us to talk about it also means that we must understand what it looks like. And that's what we explored last weekend. Because the thing is what credibility would we have if we talk to somebody about having a relationship with Christ, and then they turn it around and say, well, do you have a relationship with Christ? Well, no, I don't have one, but you should have one. It's kind of like the person who's telling somebody, well, you should work out. Well, do you work out? No. Well, you should eat proper. Well, do you eat proper? Oh, no, it's not for me. It's just for you. This is the same thing. I mean, in order to have that credibility, we need to be able to practice what we preach. And perhaps you know that person, or maybe you're that person that can tell somebody all about something else, but you yourself don't practice it. James 1, 22 to 25 says this, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. So as the lead pastor of this church, I believe that my calling is very simple, to lead the church, right? So by leading, for me, what I believe is that I lead by example. As a church, I believe that you expect me to pray for you. Is that a fairly safe assumption? That you expect that throughout the week I'm praying for you? Okay, well, you are right. I do that. As a church, I believe that you expect me to shepherd you and to speak into your lives, correct? So, for example, how would you feel if God gave me a word and asked me to share it with you? Would you want me to share it with you? Given the right context, correct? And right timing and all that. So how would you feel if you were going through something and later you come to me and say, oh, this is what I've been going through and this is the battle that I've been going through. And I look at you and say, oh, you know, God gave me a word for you about 2 weeks ago, but I decided not to share it with you. I decided to just keep it for myself. That wouldn't be very comforting, would it? No, exactly. But as a lead pastor, I too have hopes and expectations. My hope is that as I lead by example, you are able to see the importance of what I am teaching you to do because you see it modeled in my life. For example, for our staff and for our leadership council. My hope and expectation is that they would participate in the things that I believe as leadership are important. So for example, pre-service prayer, the time that we gather here at 9:30. My hope is that the staff and leadership are here for this. Once a month, we've started a Saturday night prayer and worship service. I believe that this is important. Being in a life group is important. Having a relationship with Christ is important. Now, naturally, I can't demand that anybody attend these things, but my hope is that as I lead by example, people will recognize the importance of these things and in turn see the benefits. Just like my relationship with Christ, I can tell people that they need Jesus. My hope is that as they see how I live, they will understand their own need for a Savior, their need for Jesus. So these things that I share with you that I believe are important are items that God has spoken into my heart and also said, if you're going to talk about it, it's important that you're practicing this as well. So this morning, we're going to be speaking with different individuals throughout our morning. Each of these individuals are currently involved in a life group here at CPC. Now, please don't take this that we're trying to do some big sales pitch on our life groups, but I think that it's an opportunity for you to hear from people who are actively involved. We will be able to hear the benefits of living life in community. At this time, I've put some sheets out there. Karen, Greg, Doug, if you could hand those sheets out to everybody so that everybody has a copy. Again, you don't have to fill this out. It's just so that I have it in your hands. So last week, we spoke about receiving the diagnosis. We learned that many of us have the symptoms of what I called RDD, Relationship Deficit Disorder, RDD. Having symptoms does not mean that you have it. We can make the choice to correct or to do something with the symptoms to ensure that it does not take over our lives. Do you agree with that? At the moment, so for example, in our house, the moment that somebody sneezes or somebody has a cough or they get the sniffles, immediately you can hear them saying from wherever they are in the house, "Where is the oregano oil?" And they'll immediately go get it. They'll drop the 5 drops under their tongue. They'll do their little dance, and then they'll just get on with life. They're basically doing whatever they have. They may not necessarily have a cold, but in order to prevent it from taking place, they get this oregano oil into them. So for us, the doctor provides a diagnosis. Then he might follow it up with a prescription. What do you do with the prescription? With any diagnosis, you have 3 choices. You can do something about it. You can accept it and leave things as they were and simply hope for the best. Or you can succumb to the diagnosis and give up and let it just take over. That thing that God has been speaking into your heart, what are you doing about it? Has it become something that you just simply talk about? Or are you doing something about it? At this time, I'm going to invite Claire to come, and Claire's going to be interviewing people throughout our service this morning. So at this time, Claire's going to do an interview with Melanie and Todd.
Good morning, Melanie and Todd. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. It's nice to see you. Melanie and Todd, you're not necessarily new to the Valley, but you're new to our church here. So I would like you to just share with us a little bit about your journey to Comox Pentecostal Church.
Sure. So we left the Comox Valley about 15 years ago. I had gone off and joined the RCMP, so we moved to Regina for a little bit. After I came out of Depo, we went to Vernon. We were there for a little bit more. After Vernon, we went to Campbell River. After Campbell River, we went to Port McNeil. And after Port McNeil, we came to the Comox Valley. And here we are to stay.
Okay. So what has your experience going to a life group, coming to a new church and going to a life group where you didn't know anyone?
I think considering how many times we've been the new people in all the places we've lived, you'd think it would get easier, but it never is easy. You always arrive at the address, wondering if it's the right house, if it's the right time. Is everybody gathered inside to boo at you when you walk through? But you know, once you make that door knock and get inside, it's always good. You shake a few hands and you become part of a small group. And we've always found and always believed that it's not only encouraging, but there's something really powerful about becoming engaged with God's people. So it's vital to, I think, growth as a Christian. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Anything to add?
Could you tell us what you think?
I found after we've gone to a youth, like a life group, you come back to the church and you feel just a little bit more in touch with people and more connected. I remember after coming to your life group, I come to the door and there's Calvin to shake my hand. I know Calvin now, and I go in the start singing, and there's somebody on the stage I know, and look in the sound booth, and there's someone there I know, and it gives you a feeling like you're not in a place of full all strangers, mm-hmm. and that's really nice too. And then from there, you make further connections outside of those groups. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Tell us about some of those connections. What has it enabled you to be part of now?
Since being connected in the life group, I've made relationships and friendships that. I don't know, in the life group you do end up sharing some of your struggles. We've been able to share like our children's struggles, our work struggles, and we've been able to pray. And I find that when you share those things, you're more vulnerable, but at the same time, you can see the results. You get encouraged because, oh, somebody's child has done better this week, and it gives you hope too. And it does. And then from there, you meet people who are getting involved in things like Jen starting the Mom's Time Out and her asking for me to be a part of that. And that's really exciting because I really enjoy stuff like that. So,
yeah. So from just making those connections on a Thursday night, you see everybody on Sunday, so another touch point, and then that opens up doors for further ministry opportunities. Fantastic. And I know one of the things is Todd works out of town all week. And so it gives others an opportunity to make sure you're okay and check in on you and things like that. So any last thoughts about life groups or?
Get involved. Got to get in. Yeah. Plug in. It's hard, but it's fantastic. It's really encouraging. You need to be in fellowship with the saints.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you very much.
The one thing that you'll often learn about a life group is that it starts with an invitation. Now, for Todd and Melanie, what I know is that through Claire and Calvin meeting them here, they said, hey, we have a life group on Thursday. Would you be interested? So we know that it was the result for them of an invitation. And then they had a choice to make. Do I accept that invitation? And it's the same thing in our relationship with God. God extends the invitation. It's up to us whether or not we want to receive that invitation. So when we receive our diagnosis, we realize that something must change in our current state. Last week, we read through John chapter 15, verses 1 to 10. And the verse that comes immediately after this teaching on abiding in the vine and the importance of being in a relationship is found in verse 11. And it says this, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full." We need Jesus in our lives for that complete feeling, to have that joy in our hearts. That comes from Christ. So all of these things that we learned from Jesus, it's up to us now to put those things into practice. And as we read earlier in James, we are to be doers of the word and not simply hearing it. It's easy to say, oh yeah, that's a great verse. What are you doing about it? We put these things into practice. So, for example, when a couple meets with a marriage therapist, it's up to them whether or not they are going to heed the advice and put it into practice. This is actually, whether it's a marriage therapist or not, any kind of therapist, they give you the tools, they put them in your toolbox. What are you doing with them? For example, Kyla and I are attending the Alpha Marriage course. And if you've never taken this course, I would highly recommend it. And you might be sitting, well, our marriage is doing okay. Yeah, my marriage is doing okay. But it's good to gather together to hear these teachings. It serves as a reminder for us that, you know, those things that we've been practicing, let's just keep on practicing it, because practice makes exactly. So we're not completed works. Are any of you here this morning perfect? Is your marriage perfect? Nice try, Joel. I worked with you. I know that. But the thing is that none of us are perfect. So for Kyle and I, it just helps us to see things that we need to continue to work on. When a doctor gives you a prescription, you can get it filled to start the journey of changing or changing your state, or toss it in the trash. Sometimes we need a little assistance to get us going. So there are times when medication is required. It does not mean that we become dependent upon it for the rest of our lives. I mean, even Paul was saying to Timothy, Timothy was having some stomach issues. And in 1 Timothy 5:23, he even tells him, he says, no longer drink only water, but use a little wine for the sake of your stomach and your frequent ailments. He's telling him, take this as a medicine to help you out. It doesn't mean you stay on this for the rest of your life. It's just something, a little assistance to get you over this hump, to bring that healing in you. So the medicine is a synthetic item that helps short term. Jesus is the authentic medication that we need for a lifetime. Do you believe that? Amen. So again, the personal trainer can provide you with all sorts of tools to achieve the physical results that you are wanting to see. If the tools are not utilized, what good are they? So a few years ago, my brother was upgrading his toolbox, and he showed up at my house one weekend, and he's got this big toolbox in the back of his truck, and I said, what are you doing with that? And he says, oh, I thought I'd bring it down. I thought you could use this. So I'm looking at this thing, and I'm thinking, how do I get this into my kitchen? Because that's where all of my tools are, is in the kitchen, right? I may have tools that most guys would use, but I don't know how to use those things. But, you know, I could easily have filled this thing up with tools from my kitchen. But the thing is that when we have the tools put into our toolbox, it's important for us to know how to use them. I have people walk into my kitchen, and I'll hand them a thing and say, here, just use this, and what is that? Right? It's the same thing when somebody sends me to the hardware store and says, go and buy this. What is that? And sometimes I go in, and I've been that guy that's gone in looking for a skyhook. Right? Has anybody here been put in? Go to the hardware store and ask for a skyhook. You'll learn all about it. Anyway, or a left-handed hammer. That's the other one. But the Bible is our toolbox for daily living. All through Scripture, we are able to find an answer to anything that we are walking through. It helps us know how to live. How are you incorporating this into your current state to see the changes that you need to make? So at this time, Claire is now going to have a discussion with Jacob Gregory. Through hearing his involvement with the life group, we will hear how he recognized a need for this in his own life. As a result, He got involved with a life group, and we're going to hear his story.
Hello, Jacob.
Hi.
Good to have you here this morning. Tell us a little bit about your journey. How did you and your family arrive here at CPC?
We moved here about, it'll be 10 years ago in September, from Peace River, Alberta. We got tired of February. After several long winters, we did a little tour of the coast, and we both have very, very portable careers, so it worked out very nicely that we kind of did a little sort of upside down question mark, yeah, I don't know, whatever you want to call it, and we decided on Comox Valley, and our very first week that we were here, we came and we sat over where the Verge family is right now, and everybody welcomed us with open arms. It was a really, really warm feeling, and we haven't gone anywhere else since.
Praise the Lord. That's wonderful. So because of your DNA and who God created you to be, your music has been part of how you've plugged in to the church here.
Yeah, I mean, it was actually our second week that we were here that I was actually playing drums. So, yeah, they gave me a week off, and actually one of the very first people I met, we were in McDonald's in Courtney because our house had flooded on the day of possession. Blah blah blah. Long story. And we were sitting with this I was sitting beside this really really weird guy in the play place, and then he said, "Well, my name is Joel. I'm a worship leader at Comox Pentecostal Church. We actually really need a drummer and a bass player, so you're in." I said, "I have no choice at that point," and that was it. So, but don't go to McDonald's. Well, actually, unless you want to meet Joel, he's probably there.
That's right. That's great. So you're here. You felt welcome. You felt a part of the body of Christ in that you had been absconded and brought into the worship team. But there seemed to be a need for something more in you. So tell us about what that was and how that was filled.
Yeah, I mean, I always knew that my calling was to do music and that, but there was just something, I don't know, I think God was really putting a desire in my heart for more, something that was a deeper connection. And I had been meeting regularly with all sorts of other Christian men and talking through different things that we would all be going through. But then Brooke Peterson and Dave Stubbs said, "Well, we're thinking of starting a life group." I said, "I am in." And just the timing just seemed perfect. And I don't know why that is. It must have been some sort of divine intervention, maybe. A God thing, and yeah, we've been meeting for 2.5 years or something like that, around that range. It started with just the three of us, and it's slowly grown. Originally, we were kind of intending for it to be, you know, mid-30 to mid-40s guys with, you know, kids that were youth age, and just to see how we could help really lift them up. And then it became more about even the accountability amongst ourselves of, you know, just trying to be godly men and lead in our church. And then we've had a few different people. Like, we've had Dave Klatt come out a bunch of times. No, he was actually around when the Bible was, like, he used to be in a bridge club with Moses. I mean, that's old. They played crib together. Yeah, if it wasn't bridge night, because there weren't enough of them, a few people were out on a pilgrimage, and yeah.
Yeah. Now, being a woman, I don't know what happens in a man cave, but, and then you meet with them regularly, but how has this regular connection with men changed you?
Well, yeah, I mean, with men's club, we're not allowed to talk about it. We basically, we wrestle, we eat wings. There's a lot of fighting to the death. But generally, we get through it okay. A lot of scars. But no, it's been so good for me to just have that. You know, yes, it's great to be part of a large body of Christ and a large body of believers, but having those people that there is more of a further connection, it's really helped me, you know, up here. Yeah. More think, oh, have I read our YouVersion plan this week? Have I, you know, what were we talking about last life group? And our respective wives are in a similar life group, and so we have Aaron and I have discussions about what we talked about in our life group and everything. It's just been a really great step forward. I think every believer goes through seasons. You know, you're going to have tough times where you're just like, God, I just don't have time for you right now. And I really feel that connection with the life group has been a vital part of my walk. I feel closer to the Lord now than I have in many, many years.
That's right. Thank you, Jacob. You mentioned the word accountability. So is that one of the things that seems to be the rock? It's the accountability, the meeting, the have you done what you said you were going to do kind of things. Yeah, good.
And that's the thing, is obviously every life group is going to have different things that are sort of the focus. And I don't know that we intended for it to be about accountability, but it just sort of developed into that. And I thank God for that. Yeah.
That's right. Okay. Thank you very much, Jacob.
Thank you, Jacob. So I want to do a quick recap of some of the scriptures that we have reviewed throughout this series, just to kind of bring us back to that reminder, putting those tools back in your toolbox, reminding you about those tools that we put in your toolbox. So just bear with me. We're going to walk through these. So the first one is found in Acts 2, 42 to 47. It's going to be on the screen. And it says this, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being served." We looked at this passage as we talked about life in community. Hebrews 10, 24 to 25 says, "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." And then last week we looked at John 15, 1 to 10, and it says this, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." What I learned from these three passages is that we all, every single one of us, we all need assistance. At the core of each of these passages, we hear the theme of relationships. Relationships are found in community. Relationships are formed through discipleship. Relationships flourish when we do outreach together. We all need a little assistance to get us started. Coming into a church on a Sunday morning can be a little intimidating for a lot of people. There are so many people. How will I connect? How will I make friends? Where do I find people that are similar to me? Where will I find people who understand what I'm going through at this stage of my life? Where will I find people that have similar interests to me? This is why we have life groups. We are not a church with life groups. We are striving to become a church of life groups. Becoming a place with someone means that we become a place of programs. If we are a church with life groups, we are attracting consumers. We become a place of programs. Programs attract consumers. But as we become a church of life groups, we will continue to produce. We have been called to produce. At this time, Claire is going to have a discussion with Bolu about how being a part of a life group has assisted her.
Welcome, Bolu. It's nice to see you this morning. How are you enjoying our snow? Yes. So your journey to Canada and to CPC has been a long one. Tell us a little bit about what brought you here.
Okay. I came here for school. So I recently completed my program at NIC College last December from Lagos, Nigeria. It was a long journey. So I chose NIC because my uncle mentioned it, and then I looked at it and looked like a pretty good one. And I decided, yeah.
Did they tell you on the brochures that this is the banana belt and it never snows here? Yes.
It's like that. It's really warm. It's like the warmest part of Canada. It's as good as it gets. I'm like, yeah, why not?
There you go. Surprise. Kelly and Josiah's life group seems to have many international students as well as a lot of young adults. So tell us a little bit about this group and its appeal to you.
Josiah calls it the airport group because people are always coming and going. And yeah, we have a lot of international students and people with the same kind of struggles. They understand how hard it is to be far away from home and, you know, wanting to connect to people. So you have people who care about you and they understand where you're coming from. You can share your struggles without any judgment. So that's really appealing about.
So your food, your group includes a lot of eating?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. And a lot of study and a lot of hugs. Yes. So tell us how this group has met some of the needs in your life.
Like I mentioned earlier, we have a group where we eat a lot, of course. So that helps. And we spend the first part of our meeting, just catching up on each other's lives and talking about things that we missed in each other's lives during the week and stuff like that. It's a family away from family. It's like one big happy family with different kinds of people and different kinds of characters. And you have people who are constantly praying for you because you share your struggles, you share things you're going through or seasons you are in your life right now, and they're praying for you. And another thing that is really amazing is I've had things bother me and then I would have someone from the group just text me and like, oh, are you okay? I'm like, oh, did the Holy Spirit report me to you right now? Yeah, so it's really nice knowing that you have people watching your back and praying for you, and we've had answered prayers, like miraculously answered prayers in the group. Yes.
So your transition to cold, snowy Canada has been aided and helped by a warm group that just envelops you and helps you to grow. Good. Okay, thank you very much, Polu.
I can speak from experience that if you want to have a night of excitement and a lot of fun, and where they might eat you out of house and home, you know, ask Kelly and Josiah if you could host their life group. They would love to come to your house and hang out. And they have a lot of fun, and there is much laughter that goes on in that place. So the question that I want to ask is, how may we help? So at the beginning, you were each given one of those sheets of paper. And if you have been wondering about getting involved in a life group, you've thought about, you know what, we've got this great home that God has blessed us with. I'd like to be able to host a life group. Perhaps you are thinking, well, I just live in a smaller place. I have the gift of hospitality, and I'd love to be able to host one, but I don't have the space. Come and talk to me, because what we have actually done is we've created a room. There's our upper prayer room is what we call it, but in there we've placed couches and some chairs. There's a fireplace. There's a TV. If you want to be able to host a life group, let me know. We will open the church so that you can come and use this as your place to host a life group. The one thing that a lot of people get really nervous about is I believe that God is calling me to step out, but leading the life group is a bit scary. We remove that fear for you because we have some great resources. We have a lot of tools that we are able to put into your toolbox to make you the greatest leader ever. You become a great facilitator. A lot of times that's exactly what it is, because some people think, well, I don't have hours to put all of this together. Because of the resources that we have, you don't need hours. You simply become a facilitator. You get a sheet that you just simply got to guide the questions and get the conversation started. So if this is something that is of interest to you, please fill out that sheet. We want to collect those from you. You can even leave it on your seat. We'll collect them after the service. But how can we help? You know what God has been speaking into your life and where it is that He's leading you. The diagnosis has been given. What are you going to do about it? You've heard the importance of being in community, of being in relationship, and being discipled. The question is that are you going to remain a hearer of the word, or will you do something about it? So for those of you who before today had not met Claire, now you've met Claire. Claire and I work together. Claire oversees all of our life groups here at the church, and both of us would love to help you get connected. If you have a desire to even do a life group that pertains to children or something for our youth, talk to Trevor. Trevor would love to have that conversation with you. Anything that you are looking for, anything that you're wanting to do, come and speak with us. We would love to be able to help you. I believe that for every single one of us here, because, and I can say this confidently because it is scriptural, is that God has called us to be producers. The question is, are you prepared to accept the call? Father, this morning I believe that you have been speaking into people's hearts. You have been speaking into their lives. My prayer is that as they make this decision, that this is not just simply an emotional decision or feeling guilty about it, but that you have been speaking into their heart and helping them to see the importance of being a part of a community, of being in fellowship with other believers, of walking with other people on their journeys. God, I pray for every single one of us that we would understand that we would know that, and that we would respond to what it is that you're speaking into our hearts. I thank you for the opportunity that I have to be a part of this community, to have other individuals that I am doing life with, that can speak into my life, that can encourage me, and vice versa, that I can speak into their lives, that I can encourage them. Father, I pray that as you continue to lead us, that we will continue to become producers, and that we are going to see a great harvest here at this church, and we are going to continue to see souls coming to know you. People on that journey of their faith, walking in a relationship with you. So, Father, I thank you for how you're going to use us, and I thank you for the great things that you have in store for us.
Thanks again for listening to today's message. We hope that it encouraged you as you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.